This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Quick warning before we begin. This episode contains strong language.
Since when is that woman missing?
2017.
Oh my gosh. What's her name?
Ruja.
Her name is Ruja Ignatova.
How old is she?
She's 39.
Bella.
She's what? 39.
Bella.
I'm thinking about how I can help you, but I'm sorry, but lots of women look similar. You know that.
She
What's
might
the background?
Come.
What's the background of that she's missing?
This is a very big story. It's a very strange story.
She tried to stop OneCoin. She was just the face.
Get on the ground, get on the docks, get on the ports and talk to the lower level. Don't talk to people that she's probably paid off. Talk to the workers there. Talk to the people who might have seen her in the cafes.
I think she's definitely in hiding. I mean, she could really be anywhere.
There are a lot of theories from what I've heard. She must have made a deal with somebody.
I said, how sure are you that she can identify? She said, 100% man. She knew and recognised that lady. 100%, she knew them.
Sorry, I can't help you in that story. That case. I'm sorry.
What sort of area is this?
There are lots of people having lots of money. That's no secret.
Hi, how are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad.
On your breakfast. So, we called up the restaurant in Athens and then we emailed them across some photos of Dr. Ruja.
Mm-hmm.
And they got back to us last night.
Yeah.
Dear Georgia, lady in photos seems familiar to staff. They all remember this lady with a party of six or eight.
To me, what that does is prove that Alan, she was definitely there, not so long ago, which means she's definitely in Europe, which means she could maybe just be still travelling around Europe. She's not leaving Europe.
That's what I think. And it means she's alive.
Dr. Ruja is alive. She's probably in Europe. Where? Episode 7, In Plain Sight. We need to talk about money. Billions have been invested into OneCoin, but no one knows where they are. And there's a famous saying in journalism, follow the money. Maybe it will lead us to Dr. Ruja. Lovely little cottage he's got there. I can see that. He was coming down the pathway with his dog. Journalist Oliver Bullough has spent many years investigating the ways illicit money flows around the world, including in Eastern Europe.
This is where he unpicks the shadowy financial secrets. And we're going to see if he can help us figure out what the hell is going on with all these billions.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Hey, Georgia, hey.
Tilly, come on.
Oliver is an expert on what he calls Moneyland, the shadowy parallel world where complicated shell company structures and unscrupulous banks allow the super rich and criminals to hide their wealth. A place where money seems to disappear.
The US authorities estimate that 4 billion euros has been put into this. People are still being recruited into it. But the money has vanished. No one can get their money back and no one knows where the money is.
Bloody hell. I mean, it's a lot of money. Fascinating. It's like you used to get these in the 90s in the former Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, these ludicrous pyramid schemes. I mean, it broke Albania, one of these. I mean, Albania descended into anarchy because of a pyramid scheme.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I can't remember what year was that. Must have been 96, 95. I was in Macedonia at the time and I wanted to go to Albania and I couldn't go because they'd shut the border and basically, you know, the police had lost control of all their weapons and just things had got real.
Blimey.
me.
Because of a pyramid scheme. I mean, they're incredibly powerful things. I think there's often a window in which a population who are used to trusting things, so used to trusting, say, financial institutions, immediately exposed to a new range of financial products, and there is a window in which they're vulnerable to those products. And I think you saw that. One of the reasons you saw it in a big way in Eastern Europe in the 90s is because people had been essentially restricted to a single state savings bank. And suddenly there's this bewildering array of banks, and presumably they're all fine, right? Because the state saving bank had been fine, and they're offering these crazy returns. And it takes people like a period of time, 10 years, to say, actually, you know what, you know, this is a con job. And I suppose, in a way, that's repeated itself with cryptocurrencies because, you know, look, it's a whole new thing. And this is, look at the returns, you know, and no one understands the technology.
In his garden overlooking rolling hills, I ask him how money can disappear.
If you are rich enough and well-advised enough or clever enough, you can structure your assets in such a way that they become invisible. They still exist. You can still use them to buy things. You can still use them to buy political influence and nice houses and yachts. But when it comes from someone trying to find them, whether that's a journalist or a police officer, the assets are invisible. And so that's what Moneyland is. Moneyland is the place where these assets go. As a conservative estimate, I mean, you're talking sort of 1 in 7, 1 in 8 of all the dollars in the world are in Moneyland. Other people estimate far higher. You know, it's a lot of money.
So how do you make money disappear?
I mean, there is an old way of doing it, which is you dig a hole in the ground and put them in the hole in the ground and then fill it up. And it worked very well. It's a very good way of making your assets disappear, but had the downside, which is they were stuck in a hole in the ground. The good thing about Moneyland is it means you can make them disappear while also enjoying them and spending them. Because if you're sufficiently wealthy, then all the rules go out the window anyway. Banks are prepared to take risks on your behalf. You know, there are investigations into banks, you know, significant banks, in which the people have emailed, well, listen, I think this client is worth the risk of taking it on. And once your name is removed from the ownership of assets, then essentially those assets have disappeared. They have vanished. They're gone. They're in Moneyland.
I can't work out how you can get away with it, I suppose.
Well, it's because it's in so many interests that you do get away with it. If you have a lawyer who is looking after the company on your behalf, that lawyer will be the person who will disperse the money to you. And they won't want to tell anyone because you're a good client. It's all about incentives. It's not in anyone's incentives to blow the whistle on this whole thing. Occasionally whistleblowers do come along. They tend to be mad. I mean, genuinely mad. You know, brave, wonderful, glorious people, but bonkers. Because this is an incredibly lucrative world to be involved in, and these people are very dangerous people. So if you do blow the whistle on it, you might get killed.
Ooh, better go inside.
Well, you can tell the rain's coming.
It changed fast. Yeah.
It was lovely a second ago. How easy is it then, if you're trying to move money around, how easy is it for you to do that?
Well, ludicrously easy. I mean, you know, in a very basic way, if you create a British company, that costs you £13. You can do it online. It takes you about 10 to 20 minutes. You have to give no proof of identity at all when you create it. That's you've got a British company. Then you use that company to open a bank account. And then once it's there, you know, you can move it around. And if the bank account is owned by a Bahamian company, which is controlled by a Marshall Islands trust, you know, levels of sort of sophistication, which, I mean, no one could cut through, really no one.
Ruja and OneCoin's corporate structure is incredibly complicated. For example, Ruja's big house, that's the one we saw in Sofia, was owned by a company called One Property. One Property was owned by another company called Risk Limited. Risk Limited was owned by Ruja, but was then transferred to some unnamed Panamanians. But it was still managed by another company called Paragon, and Paragon was owned by another company called Artifix, which was owned by Ruja's mother, Veska. You still with me? And then in 2017, the ownership of Artifix was sold to an unknown man in his 20s.
This is improbably standard. There was a company that was given the monopoly on gas trade between Russia and Ukraine, which is literally a license to print billions of dollars, and that was controlled by a pensioner in Transylvania. So yes, your 28-year-old doesn't surprise me at all. He will have signed a document saying, essentially, I resign. So if they try and you know, were they to be unwise enough to court death and say, I'm going to head off and keep this company, then you just fill in the letter of resignation and they're no longer the director and haven't been since last year.
He has no autonomy. He is literally a cutout. That's it.
For several months, a French journalist called Maxime Grambert tried to unpick the corporate workings of OneCoin, and he collected as many company names and bank account details for OneCoin One Life as he could. He shared that information with us, and we've brought it to show Oliver.
Well, it's good to see so many British ones.
Why have we got so many British companies here?
British companies are the companies of choice. They're very easy to set up. They look legitimate. You know, so this, for example, the top one. Mm. If we look up on Companies House, hang on. This is part of our transparency agenda in this country. You're supposed, this is an anti-corruption thing, you're supposed to be able to find any company in the UK. We're very proud of this in this country. This is a key anti-corruption tool. The problem is that when you create this company, no one checks any of the information you provide. So if you look at filing history, then you should be able to see, yeah, this is classic, look. And then nothing has happened, right? They have filed no financial information at all. So there are no company accounts here.
So why is no one checking this or calling?
There are 4 million companies registered in the UK. But then look here, if you look under people, this is a new innovation that we came up with in the UK to try and... So person with significant control, this is the real person who owns this company. And this is supposed to mean that you can no longer use a British company to hide behind. Let's have a look. Who is the person with significant control? There you go. Click on that, and that is... Oh, hey presto, they haven't filed a person with significant control. That's illegal. I mean, this is a British corporate structure. This is literally just the first one on the list. I didn't pick out around...
No, I saw.
That is an anonymous shell company. That is as anonymous as anything that you can buy anywhere in the Seychelles or Nevis or the Marshall Islands or Vanuatu. You think that this is all super sophisticated. It's like, how can anyone be so clever to figure this out? It's crazy easy.
Yeah. We live in a global economy where no one is really in charge and lots of people are happy for it to remain opaque. In this global economy, if one bank or one country asks too many questions, the money just moves elsewhere. And because everything is connected, a scammer in Bulgaria can easily reach a victim in Scotland and there's not much the authorities can do. But inaction or delay by the authorities can be disastrous. In September 2016, the Financial Conduct Authority, or FCA for short, which is responsible for regulating financial markets in the UK, issued a warning on its website.
We believe consumers should be wary of dealing with OneCoin. We are concerned about the potential risk this poses to UK consumers.
In around August 2017, they removed this warning from their website, saying it had been up for long enough.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's me, Ken Levine, coming live once again from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
OneCoin promoters at the time took this removal as proof that the UK authorities now considered OneCoin a legitimate investment.
Well, the reason I'm doing this video, though, it goes back to those videos when I was talking about that FCA warning that the UK has now taken down. So guys, no longer an assumption or if it's being updated or any of that nonsense that these haters want you to believe. Now, here we go, guys. Here's the official answer. As we believe the warning has been on our website for a sufficient length of time to make consumers aware of our concerns. And it's just that simple, guys. There's the answer right from the horse's mouth. It's official. Well, we got all these other people going out there being like, OneCoin's banned, OneCoin's this, OneCoin's under investigation, blah, 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 blah. Well, I'm sorry, but if they still thought we were a fraudulent company, OneCoin, then guess what? That warning's not removed. Game over.
We have discovered there were several OneCoin events in the UK after this warning was removed and lots of money was invested. We approached the FCA for a comment and we did not hear back. And it's not just the FCA. The same week that episode one of this series was first released, the City of London Police dropped their investigation into OneCoin too. They said,
the companies and individuals behind OneCoin are based outside UK jurisdiction.
And
we've been unable to identify UK-based assets which could be used to compensate UK investors.
Jen McAdam, the Scottish OneCoin investor, messaged us as soon as she heard the news.
Hi, guys. I've just nearly had a meltdown. I'm devastated for all the UK victims. Where's the support? Where's the help? More folk are going to promote this. The green light for the OneCoin scammers to continue and extort more money for innocent people in the UK. And nothing has been done about it. Nothing. They don't care. They don't give a shit.
We approached the City of London Police for comment and they said...
The City of London Police has concluded its investigation into suspects linked to OneCoin. There was insufficient evidence to support criminal proceedings against individuals based in the UK, though the force has never specified that there have been no concerns surrounding OneCoin. The force has provided assistance to foreign law enforcement partners in respect of their investigations concerning OneCoin personnel and will continue to do this. If you believe you have been a victim of fraud in relation to OneCoin or you suspect someone of actively marketing OneCoin, please come forward and report it to Action Fraud Online.
We've been putting our claims to OneCoin throughout the series. OneCoin have told us...
Accusations have been raised by competitors, enviers and exponents of the old financial world. Numerous proceedings already prove the accusations are completely untenable.
OneCoin rejects allegation that it is a scam and states...
OneCoin verifiably fulfills all criteria of the definition of a cryptocurrency. The series will not present any truthful information and cannot be considered objective nor unbiased.
OneCoin also says that allegations made against them around the world are being challenged and states...
Our partners, our customers and our lawyers are fighting successfully proceedings against OneCoin. We are sure that the vision of a new system on the basis of a financial revolution will be established.
What I don't understand is why that just immediately should ring alarm bells.
That presupposes that the authorities are interested in investigating whether something is illegal here, which isn't a given in a lot of countries. And it also presupposes that the authorities have the bandwidth to proactively investigate in that way. And they don't.
What do you make of all this, then, that we've just showed you?
Yeah, it's very hard to say. I mean, you know, but this multiple usage of disposable British companies to own bank accounts in multiple jurisdictions is exactly what is done in major money laundering schemes.
Sounds like it's a bit hopeless, though, for us to actually try to get to the bottom of this. Based on everything you've been saying, I mean... zero chance of actually finding where this money is or unpicking what's really going on.
It's not zero chance. It's been very well hidden.
The old journalistic saying doesn't work with OneCoin. Following the money won't lead us to Dr. Ruja. We're just chasing shadows and cardboard cutouts. There's one place we haven't looked. Not really looked. And it's probably the most obvious place of all. The internet. We put so much online now, and that information can betray us. And that's what took us to somewhere we think Dr. Ruja might be. Not Athens. Frankfurt. It took weeks of extremely boring internet research and painstakingly going back through everything we've learned so far, so we've squashed it all into 4 minutes.
Ish.
Okay, strap in. Alan told us about a possible sighting in Athens. This was confirmed by the restaurant, but they couldn't remember how long ago it was.
Nothing.
Then we contacted ports and airports in Athens and asked about boats and private jets.
They won't provide that information.
We learned at the factory in Voltenhofen that her husband, or maybe ex-husband, was in Frankfurt. That's not much. But we started looking a bit more into it.
female, speaks German, born
you all know Google.
1980.
But there are other search engines too.
Email addresses associated with it.
And some specialise in finding people, digging up publicly available phone numbers, addresses, associates, sometimes going back for years.
That we've not seen before.
Remember that time you entered your phone number on an obscure forum in 2011? No?
Phone number that she's used that was
the internet does.
With this place somehow.
What's this got to do with
a church?
And then all the places she's
and saying. All the places. There's an address there for her. It thinks that she is associated with. And top of the list is Frankfurt.
It's a lead, but it's not enough.
Hello?
Andy. But then we spoke to a cybersecurity specialist from Namibia called Andy, who was familiar with the story.
So, is she alive?
It appears so, yes.
What is your most recent picture you have of her?
We started looking through every photo of Ruja that we could find.
Here we go. Look, she is with a woman. Look.
She's with a mysterious woman.
This is a picture of her with Ruja in February 2012.
She's been friends with Ruja since long before OneCoin.
There they are again in 2011. They're close friends. I wonder what she knows.
Then we started looking at some of her more recent posts.
Look at this. Look at this. July, she is in Frankfurt, Germany, on the way to Bulgaria.
And on Monday last week, a cyber forensic specialist analysed the pictures.
That poster there?
That's it. Anyway, so from the tiny little bit, a few pixels, he got the name of some tennis tournament, which only happens in one park in Frankfurt. There you go, got it there.
There it is.
And it was very close to the addresses associated with Dr. Ruja.
So it's not far.
No, it's not far, is it? What is she doing in Frankfurt?
And there was another clue.
Hello, this is Dr. Ruja Ignatova, and I would like to share very, very personal and exciting news. Last week, my little daughter was born.
We found a video online of Dr. Ruja from early 2017.
And I want to thank all of you for the support, for the great wishes, for the presents, a lot of flowers.
I thought this was just another fabricated cover story. There's very little about any of this online. But in the last couple of weeks, we were told that Dr. Ruja did have a daughter, but she rarely spoke about her in public, and that the daughter could be in Frankfurt.
She absolutely loved that daughter.
Gary used to work with Ruja around the time her daughter was born.
Can you imagine her being separated from her daughter then?
No, I think she would have been absolutely heartbroken.
Do you think that if Ruja is alive, she would try to be near to where her daughter is, or she'd try to see her daughter?
100%.
No single piece of this puzzle is enough on its own, but when you add it all up...
There's too many things are pointing at the same place.
Worth a trip?
I think it's just about worth a trip, yeah. Just keep your eyes open, keep your eyes open.
Armed with photos of Dr. Ruja, we take a last-minute flight to Frankfurt and drive out to a couple of places in a sleepy suburb that were associated with Ruja in our internet searches.
There's not actually much to say about this place, is there? Well, it's a little bit empty, isn't it?
Have you seen this woman before?
No.
Is this the same? No?
No.
Never.
This woman?
Never. No.
Have you ever seen her?
No, sorry.
An email address somehow associated with Dr. Ruja was connected to an old church here.
There's no way she can hear that knock.
Finally, the organist comes out. She didn't want to be recorded, but she'd never heard of Dr. Ruja.
I don't know why this town with this church came up as a place that's related to Ruja, but it doesn't feel like the right sort of place.
We drive to another address where she used to live, but the neighbours don't recognise her. We think that Dr. Ruge's friend visited a nearby park in a plush suburb of Frankfurt called Bad Homburg, so we head there. Wow.
It's really upmarket. And, well, I can... This is where our forensic security person managed to pinpoint exactly where Ruge's friend was visiting Frankfurt. She was right here, because this is what the background was, this tennis, a tennis club. Looks really nice, doesn't it?
Beckons the English.
Is this woman here?
No, I haven't seen her before.
So this is some other pictures of her.
No.
But she's not a member here.
No.
It's going to be tough. This is going to be hard work.
No. No.
No.
No. No.
Never seen her before?
No.
There's two more restaurants.
So can I see?
Yes, of
the
course.
The picture? No, but this one is... This one is... Just a moment. Hi, Flavio. Kannst du diese Frau?
Nee, wieso? Nein, kenne ich nicht.
Nein.
Die kenne ich nicht. Die kenne ich nicht. Nein, kenne ich nicht.
Nein.
Sorry.
They look like Ruge's kind of places, but after a day of fruitless searching, we get back to our hotel with really nothing at all to show for it. We phone up Dr. Ruge's husband or ex-husband, Bjorn, and he doesn't want to talk to us.
I think even though we knew it was a long shot, we thought we might find a trace.
Mm. Yeah.
But I also feel now we're up against this world that is a bit bigger than me and you sitting in... A hotel room trying to locate.
Yeah, it's so difficult. You know, you see these things online, piece these clues together, and then when you get there, you realise that there's so many people. And I know it sounds obvious, but it's just you suddenly realise you're looking for a needle in a haystack. Here's the problem with the internet as well, I think. You decide that you found the answer and you think it's Frankfurt, and then suddenly it's very easy with the internet to find 10 reasons why it's Frankfurt and convince yourself that that is the answer.
Do you think we were close?
We might still be close. I still think Frankfurt is a place she's been. I do. I'm really deflated. In the morning, before heading back home, we have one more place to try. We think Ruge's friend may have spent some time in an extremely affluent neighbourhood near to that park.
The leaves are falling, almost as if to make it like a movie scene, aren't they?
Mr. Gardener? You might do all the gardens.
Hello.
Hello.
Where do you want to go?
Well, no. Stranger than that. We're journalists from the BBC in London. We are trying to find a missing woman.
Mm-hmm. We believe she might have been living around here. Okay, here we go. This woman here.
Könnte sein, dass ich it could be happened, but I'm not sure.
The biggest houses round here, are they...
The biggest houses are on the left side.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
Oh, I thought... You was really pausing, thinking...
Here we go. You could see her here, couldn't you?
Oh, around here? Yeah, definitely.
It's a postman.
Oh.
Hello?
Are you a postman?
I'm postman.
We are looking for someone.
We have photos. Maybe we could show you the photos to see if you just recognise the face.
Yeah, the problem is that when I'm in here in this territory, I see not so many people because the people are here somehow... how should I say? Here are the more richer people.
Yeah.
And so you don't get so much in contact.
This was one of the most expensive parts of the whole of Germany.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
We could show you in case anyway.
Okay.
You recognize her?
No. The moment I'm not sure about it, no. Sometimes I deliver posts where the name is not on the mailbox. And so I guess sometimes that people are living somewhere, just somehow hidden, I don't know.
Her name, in case you've had a letter, is Ruja Ignatova.
Say it again.
Ruja Ignatova.
Ignatova, Ignatov.
Yeah.
This is, yeah, something, the name Ignatov, that's something that I remember somehow. Sometimes you read a name and you think, okay, I remember this somehow, yeah. I have, when I was in the area, after 2 or 3 months, I knew the people by name. Mm. It's not so difficult. I knew all my customers by name, so it's somehow a kind of hobby, yeah. Ignatov, something I feel I heard it sometime.
No, I mean she
You can write it me down.
Yeah.
And I can look if we have some mail, some post
yeah.
about
yeah, I'll write it down.
So this is her, Ruja
Ignatov, yeah.
This Ignatov, is her.
This is yeah, something. We must look. But I have not in the moment. I have not
Please
yeah.
let us know.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Bye-bye.
He seemed pretty confident that he... That's something, isn't it? That is something. It's something. It's not much, but it's something.
It's not much, but it's something. We send the postman some information and ask him to email us back in the next few days if he hears anything at all. Is it really possible that Dr. Ruja is here, right in the heart of the EU? I don't know. But if Ruja is travelling around Europe, I still think Frankfurt is as good a bet as anywhere. But I wonder whether, ever since the arrest of her brother Konstantin in March 2019, and the US charges against her being made public, Ruja has gone even deeper underground. And there is one place that she might have been able to do that even more easily than Frankfurt. We'll come back to that next week. For some people, it doesn't matter where she is. Because OneCoin is bigger than Dr. Ruja. Hello, is that Kamran?
It is, hi.
Kamran is a UK-based OneCoin promoter.
Hello, my name's Jamie Bartlett. I'm calling from the BBC, and I'm recording...
Yes, Jamie?
Yes, and I'm recording this call, if that's OK.
Of course.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Are you still involved in promoting OneCoin?
I am, yes.
You are?
Yeah.
So do you think, though, that if you're still selling it and there's all these allegations, do you think maybe it's a good idea to stop?
Jamie, it's all been recorded, which is great, because
yeah.
I'm also complaining about BBC.
Oh.
And I'll be taking this further as well.
Okay.
Now, you tell me, when you actually started investigating about OneCoin, did you not ever thought that, let me find out what's happening about the investigation in the UK? City of London Police investigated and they found nothing wrong. And you were podcasting, when I've listened to it, you said you were so shocked to see the offices operating, people going in and out.
I was shocked.
What kind of drama are you creating, Jamie? Did you listen to your own voice? Yeah, why do you think you have to present it in that way? Jamie,
it's just my voice.
Are you not a professional? By calling your mother to try and, you know, understand what blockchain is?
What's wrong with that?
Mighty? What's wrong with that? That shows how unprofessional you are.
Oh, dear.
How unprofessional you are. These are all true. All the allegations and everything, okay? Why don't they shut down, you know, the head office? Why don't they stop any of their websites? You tell me. If they found any evidence, okay, of money laundering and everything else, why don't they take the case to the judge and jury in the U.S.? Why are they asking for time?
But they are. But Cameron, that is what they're doing. I mean, do you think an exchange is going to go public soon?
Of course.
Okay, and if it doesn't, because it hasn't so far, despite several promises that it would, if it doesn't, what will you do then?
If it doesn't, you know, for me, okay, I've learned my education from the packages. I promoted OneCoin truly believing in the education, okay? Your episode, you never, ever mention about what kind of, you know, education are these people getting.
We hear this from OneCoin promoters a lot. They claim to be selling education packages and the coins come free. We've not brought this up so far because no investor we spoke to ever mentioned education packages. We managed to get hold of these packages, which are essentially 7 PDF documents that cost tens of thousands of dollars, and found significant chunks of them are plagiarised.
So why don't you actually just look into one of these levels?
I have. I've seen all.
And how much have you learned?
Not very much that I couldn't learn that wasn't already publicly available, and I don't believe people would pay 118,000 euros for 6 or 7 plagiarised PDF documents. Do you?
So what do you think you have to...
Are you going to answer that question?
No, I'm actually answering the question. I think I've learned quite a lot from the education, and I know what I've learned, and I've got my certificates as well.
Did you know that Dr. Ruja has a conviction for fraud?
So far, there hasn't been anybody with a doctorate behind them who's committing fraud like this. There hasn't been a single case. So if this is the first, then I'm sure we'll all learn.
Well, I'm telling you that she does have a conviction for fraud because we checked.
Now, what you're saying, don't put words into my mouth.
I'm not.
For now, there isn't anybody, okay, with this kind of, you know, educational background who's committed fraud.
You must be a bit worried, though, after all these, you know, what the FBI said.
I'm not at all worried, Jamie.
Really?
You're the one who's going to be more worried. Because when this goes to Ofcom, so let's forget it. I've answered your question. I'm sure you don't have any more questions and you can now end the call. I have nothing more to discuss with you.
Cameron, I appreciate that you spoke to me, okay? I appreciate that.
Thank you very much, Jamie.
Thank you for answering.
We'll all be professionals, okay?
Okay, good. Goodbye. What a strange phone call.
If in the UK, with its well-resourced police force and free press, people are still openly promoting OneCoin, then what is happening right now in countries which don't enjoy the same advantages? Dr. Ruja's vision has travelled far further and far deeper than we thought possible.
So, your mother had saved some money for a store?
Yes.
A maize store. And you and your father discussed it and thought you could spend the money...
No, OneCoin, not maize store.
Right.
When they told us about OneCoin, we suddenly changed. Like, we saw a maize store as something so small compared to OneCoin. We thought it was the best decision, like, anyone could take for his family.
And did your mother spend a lot of time saving money to get this maize store?
Chikatwaro miezi omwaka.
She's saying that massively she was the one here working on it mostly. She has worked for so many years and she's tired. She says that it's too much, like the pain is extreme due to working hard.
Does your mother have a computer or a smartphone, anything like that?
No.
So did she was, your mother was not able to look into this any further?
Yes, she was just going, just supported because of what we told her.
So she couldn't go and research this herself? She couldn't look into any of this?
No. Yeah, but what your I remember, she came on one coin offices for a lecture.
Oh, your mum came to a lecture?
Yes, but the lectures were in English. So since she doesn't know much English, she was not understanding anything. But the only thing she saw, it were responsible people, people who looked money, people who looked to be educated. When she saw you, she thought that maybe things are now becoming real.
Becoming real?
Yeah, like the money is coming.
Why did she think that?
If you have your money and it's taken away from you, she still has hope. So, you guys, you've come here. Have you come with the information about it? Please, well, she's requesting if you have information that's not going to work.
This is your mother. What am I supposed to say?
That's next week, in the final episode of The Missing Crypto Queen. The Missing Crypto Queen is presented by me, Jamie Bartlett. It's written and researched by me, Jamie Bartlett, and Georgia Catt, and Georgia Catt is the producer. Philip Sellers is the editor. And the music is by the London Bulgarian Choir and Desislava Stefanova and Phil Channel. It is a BBC Radio Documentaries production for BBC Sounds. To round out episode 7, I thought I'd read you a short extract from the OneCoin Educational Package Level 2.
And I'll read page 178 from Personal Finance for Dummies by Eric Dyson.
Sounds interesting.
Doesn't it?
Companies differ in what industry or line of business they're in, and also in size. In the financial press, you often hear companies referred to by their market capitalization. When describing the size of companies, Wall Street has done away with such practical adjectives as big and small and replaced them with expressions like large cap and small cap, where cap stands
shorthand.
Oh, that's different. This here says cap stands for capitalization.
Oh.
Where cap stands for capitalization. Such is the language of financial geekiness. Just before I go, I want to tell you about another BBC podcast called 13 Minutes to the Moon from our colleagues at the BBC World Service. It's all about the first moon landing 50 years ago. We all think we know that story, Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, Michael Collins, but it almost didn't happen. In the final 13 minutes of the descent to the moon, everything was going wrong. Communication went down and fuel was running out. 13 Minutes to the Moon tells that remarkable story and hears from the men and women whose work, both in those crucial final moments and in the years beforehand, ensured that the landing was a success. It's quite a story. The music is by Hans Zimmer, who has written the scores for Gladiator, The Lion King, Interstellar, and many other movies. Search for 13 Minutes to the Moon wherever you find your podcasts.